Good morning, good morning. I guess I'm on.
Hallelujah, amen. Woo, glad to see y'all today. I don't know if you're glad to see me, but I'm here, so. Woo, anyway, so y'all probably wondering why I'm here today, because Apostle's on assignment. She's actually in D.C., and fulfilling some things. She gets a lot of prophetic words about the nations and things, so she's actually in D.C., so I'm filling in. The way we do it here is she gives everybody a turn who she picks to, so that she can come up here and take over when she's not here. Obviously, to mature and grow you up, that's the goal, right? That's her goal. Not speaking for her, but as an apostle in the house, she wants us all to grow up and mature in Christ, right? We're supposed to go out and do the work of the ministry, not her. She's supposed to equip us to go do it. So instead of bringing somebody in and paying them, then we do it here. I'm not getting a check. She's not getting paid either. So we just do it for love and for growth. And if you all know me, you know, obviously this is not, I didn't volunteer. You know, I would never volunteer to be up here because it's not my, I always say it's not my thing. However, it says, you know, apt to teach, right? Everybody should be apt to teach, right? I'm not in the fivefold, but I'm apt to teach. So I'm here fulfilling. She asked me to give me an assignment. She didn't give me an assignment, but and you know what I realized is that you know when you come up here and bring the word, you always learn a lot more than you would if you didn't, right? Because you're studying and you're studying stuff out and you're figuring stuff out, and so it's been good for me this week to go through this. Hopefully, it speaks to you. I just want to put another plug in for her. So, because, you know, I said it before, if she wasn't my wife, I'd still be here because she cares about her people, right? And she pulls and stretches, and she doesn't offend, but sometimes we get offended with what she brings, and that's only for us to look at ourselves in the mirror and try to grow up. The whole teaching she did on Neoniscus and all that about being a babe and then a mature son, The whole idea of that was so that we would look in the mirror and figure out where we're at, right? Where are you at in your walk with Christ and where we need to be? I mean, because the earth's crying out for mature sons to arise, right? And where are they, you know? So anyway, so that's her thing. So I want to say this real quick too. So you know, I've been in the church 25 years. And there's been different moves, you know. We had the prayer movement, and we had the prophetic movement, right? I don't know if y'all were around that. We had the spiritual warfare movement. Ooh, that was something there. And then we had Father's Good movement. Holy cow, man. Wow, that was like within the last 5 years. For me, that changed me. Phenomenal. I mean, if you guys don't think Father's good, then y'all got some issues. We need to talk. You need to talk to her. But Father is good, and he's always for us, and he's never against us, and he never sets us up, and he just continues to shower good on us. I mean, you know, so then the next move that I see, and actually she's ushering it in, I think that's why she's going to be traveling, is love, right? So I can tell you for me, if love had come before Father's good, I wouldn't get nothing out of it, you know, because you know, I wouldn't have got anything out of it, because Father, you know, the Father thing, I'm still not all the way Father's good. I'm still not all the way there, but I'm real better than I used to be. You know, because it depends on who your earthly father was. You kind of compare that to Father God, and until somebody tells you the truth, you really don't know that, you know, he's for me, he's not against me. I mean, he's setting up good things for me. Obviously, it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? So we know that, but he's always cheering me on. He always wants me to win. It is all that and more, and When I don't hear from him, then, you know, because we're face-to-face, right? I've actually turned away because he never turns away. And no matter what I do, what sin I'm into, he never turns away. So, anyway. So, let's see. Where do I want to go? Okay, so, on Wednesdays, I don't know if you guys come on Wednesdays. Whoever comes is pretty dynamic. You know, Sunday is like... Sunday's like a Sunday dinner, maybe she prepares, right? You know, it's got everything, pretty much the fixings, right? On Wednesday night, she's got the side tables with all the pies and all the cake and then all the appetizers. And I mean, it's unbelievable Wednesdays, right? And then sometimes she actually tells you how she makes it, right? And then sometimes she tells you where she bought the stuff from the store. I don't know if you can follow me. If it matters, I don't even know if it matters. However, she's going into that depth, right? It's like being at the pool. Like today, you all might be sitting around the pool with your feet and getting your feet wet with me up here. With her, you're jumping in 12 foot. You're jumping in the deep end because that's where she's going deep, right? So she was into. I'm trying to think. It's been a while back. She said something. She was teaching. I don't know if it was John or Corinthians, but she made a comment, and it wasn't even about the teaching. It was one of those. What'd you say? It was one of those. What did you say? And it was just a. If you're not paying attention, you'd miss it. Right, because you were taking notes, right? She's going through all this depth of the Greek philosophers and all this. You get the full gamut, which really helps, right? I mean, it really helps me. And she just threw this scripture out, and then explained it. Wow, I was wrecked, man. I was wrecked because it was it confronted a lie that I've always believed. It was a lie that I always believed. And, you know, we believe what we've been taught. We believe what our parents teach us, our teachers, or whatever it is. And sometimes it's not all the way correct. Right? Now, I'm going to say the people who I've sat under, they've never tried to deceive me in any way. They've done the best they could with what they had. Right? And when someone has a new revelation, not new scriptures, but a new revelation, it kind of changes some things. Okay, so that's what happened with this. I had a belief about this one scripture, and then she explained it, and it just so when you have a lie, and then you bring the truth right beside it, the lie can't stand. Because if the lie still stands, then maybe that truth isn't all that it's cracked up to be, right? So this lie, actually, sometimes. It's not big stuff, but small stuff, but it's always in your mind, and you filter stuff through that lie. You know what I mean? You always filter stuff through that lie. So I want to tell you what it is. It's actually, it's funny because this scripture had two lies. One of the lies I got through like a couple years ago maybe, and then this one was just recently. So I'm going to tell you about this lie and what I do to beat a lie down, right? So, because if you can hear, if you believe a lie, you really don't know you're believing a lie till you hear the truth, right? You really don't know, I think this is the right way, and pastor told me this, and they're not trying to steer you wrong, but when that new revelation comes or that truth comes beside it, it just can't stand. And so I'm gonna read the scripture for you all. And here's the scripture. Matthew 17, 14 to 21. Matthew 17:14-21. So this is after the transfiguration. They've just come off the transfiguration, right? And they just wanted to set up tabernacles for Jesus and all that stuff. So here's the scripture that, and it's just one verse, right, where I got these two lies at, but I can't just read the one verse, right? I got to go back and read this thing. So, and when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and he's very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith or unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Move from here and to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. That's the verse. Do y'all remember when she said that in the teaching? Okay. So, this kind does not go out by prayer and fasting. So, my belief on this was that there's some heavy-duty demons out here, right, that I'm not going to be able to cast them out unless I'm all fasted up, right? Spiritual warfare was demon around every corner, we're all prayed up, but this one was always, you know, but I got to be fasting and prayer. If I come up against this one demon, what am I going to do, right? That's my belief. So what that did was put fear in me so that if a demon manifested, I kind of like just took a step back because, is that the one? Because I'm not fasted up. I'm not prayed up. Somebody else can deal with it, you know. So now, I don't know if somebody taught me this or I read it and just believed it, right? But what Apostle said was, this kind there means unbelief. It's not the demonic. It means unbelief. And so that was the wow moment for me that day. Now, I've got to now think about this. You know, I'm 5+ years in. Father's good. Father's good. Father's all for me. I don't have any negative thoughts about him. But somewhere deep down in here, I still think there's some demons out here that I can't deal with unless I fast and pray. Is there some hurdles I got to jump? Is there rules and regulations I've got to do? But I know Father's good. But I never really dealt with that. Because I got a lot of stuff that you, until you look at it, until you chew on it a little bit, you're not going to really deal with it. You just believe what you believe, right? And if you want to just come Sundays and don't chew on anything, then, I mean, you're not really going to change much. I mean, you're going to change, but. So, anyway, so, you know, the more I think about this, you know, I thought, how could I even believe this, right? All that he did for me, and then there's these certain ones that Jesus gave it all. He did it all, but there's certain ones that I've got to do a couple things just to set somebody free. I mean, that's not him, right? That's not Father, right? There's certain people that have these demons that we can't set them free because you got me fasted up. I mean, what if Michelle and I are coming out of Longhorn? I just had me a big steak dinner, and then there's somebody's manifesting on the parking lot. I'm going to sit in the van. You know what I mean? She's going right over there, but I mean, I'm not probably going to say much before I got this lie broke down, so. Anyway, so I want to give you some scriptures on this. I know it's a little dry, y'all, but you have to bear with me. Revelations 1. So what I do when the truth comes alongside the lie, what I have to do is I go back and think about all that I believed and why I believed it, not who taught me, but why I believed it. Right? Then I find things, biblical reasons to bust it. Right? Because I want to bust a lie, I want to shatter the lie till it's nothing but powder, till there's nothing left. I can't. So if she gave that revelation and I knew, wow, but if I didn't do anything with that, I don't even know if it's going to be gone because I haven't really made it leave. I mean, you got to make the lie leave. It's just going to hang around because it's burned in my brain for years. So I've got to make it, I got to disintegrate it. So, okay, first scripture, Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me. Don't be afraid, I am the first and the last, and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. That's the first scripture. I'll tie it all in, hopefully. Colossians 2, 9 to 15. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgression, having canceled out the certificate of death, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And here's the one. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. All right. Next, Hebrews 2, 14. Since then the children share in the flesh and blood, and he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through the death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. You see where I'm going right now, right? I'm breaking the devil down. I'm just breaking him down right here. I'm just breaking him down. First John 3:7-8. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, how could Father or Jesus have a demon out here that's going to even raise up at all after what I just read? He made a public spectacle of the enemy, right? We all know what that means. She shared it a million times. I'll go ahead and share it again. Because it sounds good, right? Right. In the biblical days, when they would come and overthrow a kingdom, they would strip the king naked and drag him through the street, humiliated. So the people, you can see, here he is. I've got your king. Now I'm your king. And now I'm taking over. And they probably killed him, but they wanted to do the public spectacle. That's what he did with the devil. I mean, it's a knockout fight, right? Jesus and the devil in a fight. It's not no 10 round. Jesus won 6 and he raised his hand. It's a knockout in the first second. It's over. He's not getting up. It's done, man. He already took him down. He's done. I'm just trying to disprove my belief. You see what I mean? I'm trying to break the belief down. So how could I believe that there's certain demons that I can't deal with? I don't have to deal with any of them. I ain't got time for you. I don't have time for you. Now, we're going to have to cast some out. I'm just saying, but if someone's trying to mess with me, I don't have time. Jesus already did it. It's a public spectacle. You got no power unless I give it to you. No power. If I believe a lie, then there may be some power there, right? So this lie here, I believed, right, had me in fear and not really engaging anything demonic because I didn't know what I was going to get in for. But the scripture clearly says the enemy is defeated. You know, so I guess I'm wondering why we're still battling a disempowered devil. You know, I mean, why we so bad? I'm not saying they're not there. I'm not saying that the demonic isn't there because, I mean, I've seen demon. I saw a demon one time. My son saw a demon one time. Not Garrett, Chris. And when he told me about it, as soon as he described it, I saw it, right? So I don't know what that means except for that I know they're there. But I'm not really concerned, right? I mean, back in the day, it was always about spiritual warfare. Nobody said, why don't you read the Gospels? Why don't you read Jesus, man? It's not. It's just all these spiritual warfare books. That's all we did. So, anyway, so I'm trying to disprove this lie for me. This was all for me. So, I'm just trying to disprove this lie for me. So, okay, now let's go a little further. Hopefully you can follow this one. So, I'm talking about the enemy. The enemy's defeated. I'm trying to battle the enemy. World War II. Hitler and Germany were defeated, right? Utterly defeated by the U.S. and the Allies. Would you say that if we all went to Germany, we may have to be on guard for certain Germans to fight us because of World War II? Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? So then why do I think a demon who's been defeated way back in the day has got anything for me? You see what I mean? So the lie really is dumb, but you got to break it down, right? You just got to. You know how they say. Like I had this guy at work. He's retired now, Mike Terry. He was an EHS manager, right? Now I'd say, man, he kicks a dead horse, right? We've already discussed this safety thing, and he kicks the horse. I mean, we've already talked about it, right? So for me though, I'm kicking the horse so much that I'm walking right through it, so that there's no horse left to kick, because I'm trying to. This lie is done. I'm done with it. I'm done. But this is how I have to process it. Now, if you guys deal with lies any other way, I'd like to hear how you all do it. But I have to really just completely, I have to make it so obviously ridiculous that you can't even believe it anymore. You can't. I mean, you just can't. So, let's see. We're winding down. I'm sorry. Just a side note, I got up here, first time I got up here, I gave my testimony. What's good? People need to hear your testimony and how you got saved and all that. Second time up, testimony, don't get it. You got to come up with something else, right? You can't goose testimony again unless Father tells you to. I mean, you got to come up with something else, so it's a stretch. I'm stretching. So anyway, so now that the second part of this verse, that I want to discuss. Is everybody clear on that? I mean, that was a pretty foolish lie to believe, right? I can say it now, but I didn't when I believed it until she said it. It's unbelief, right? It's unbelief. You know what? I'm going to read that scripture anyway. This is about unbelief. So, Mark 16:14. Before I go into fasting, Mark 16:14. This is after the resurrection. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she saw him. And remember, she ran and told everybody. And nobody believed her. Okay, so, and they went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And then he gave the commission, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations, baptize the people. So, but the belief is, so here's the 11 who walked with him for 3 years, right? Daily, had dinner with him. I mean, they hung out, right? They, you know, and they didn't believe. So how much more is it for us? I think unbelief is a big deal in the church. I mean, they walked with Jesus and they still didn't believe it. I mean, they saw all the miracles. They saw Lazarus raise up from the dead. They saw all the miracles, and it said they didn't believe. So he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. So I'm just like, those 11 were really close, and then here we are. So unbelief may be something we should look at. I look at myself, unbelief. I mean, like one of the kids, it was a scripture there I found. Someone got, I think it was a child. I didn't say this one, but what do y'all think about this one here? And one of the crowd answered, okay, this is, I'm sorry, Mark 9:17-24. I just got one verse, but I want to read to give you the context. When he came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd gathering around him, some scribes arguing with him. And immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running in to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And someone in the crowd said, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit, which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him into the ground and foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And as I told your disciples to cast it out, they could not do it. And he answered them and said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And when they brought the boy to him, and when they saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsions, falling to the ground, and he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, please have pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. So that was the verse I was going for. It just stuck out to me, unbelief. You know, here's the people in Jesus' day, they saw everything and they still had some unbelief. So maybe that's why I'm not walking in the fullness of what I need to be walking in, because I have some unbelief. I mean, are we advancing the kingdom? Are you advancing the kingdom like you should, you know, or are you where you should be, right? I'm not talking about ministry. I don't care about all that mess, all that, whatever the fivefold is. I ain't worried about all that. I'm talking about in your sphere of influence, the people you come in contact with. Are you walking in the fullness of Christ that you can reach the lost or have a word for your brother or sister or what? You know, I'm not, but I'm going to get there. But that's what it's all about, right? Whoever you have, your sphere of influence, and what can you do to change some things? You know, it's and you'll know by the people you hang with. Like I got a good friend of mine who I probably see him once a week or every other week, and we hang out a couple hours. And he don't go to church, His wife does like worship at a church. He'd been there, didn't like it. And well, we talk about all kind of stuff. It's been kind of rough lately because it's all politics. And I just really am not in the mood to talk about it. But I let him talk. But so he's seeking, right? He's like, you know, I get up. Because we have conversation. You know, I get up and every morning and ask for unforgiveness because I want to make sure I don't go to hell. So I'm like, wow. I said, so then I start talking. As soon as I start talking and bringing him something, immediately goes to politics and immediately turns me off, you know. So I'm just like, man, why don't you come check the church out? Well, I said, why don't you come to the church? I mean, you're seeking something. Come on. I mean, you won't let me finish what I'm saying. We're friends, man. I can say what I want to say to him. I said, you won't even let me finish. I said, all of a sudden it's like, Trump. I don't want to hear that. Let's talk about what you feel. You feel like if you don't do it, if this morning I didn't say, forgive me, Lord, that I might go to hell. I don't even know if he's saved. You know, the worst part is that I've been friends with him for a long time, and he doesn't see anything immediate would draw him to church. That's one for me. You know what I mean? So don't feel sorry for me. I take that and look in the mirror and say, why? His wife, same way. His wife in church every week, twice a week. She's real churchy, though. I wouldn't go to her church if I was him either. I'm sorry. Real religious. You know what I mean? I just can't. I'm sorry. You probably should take that off the tape, man. I'm sorry, man. If my wife was real religious, I probably wouldn't be up in here. I probably wouldn't be up in here. So, you know what I mean? But that's somebody in my sphere of influence. I have a lot of influence because if I need something, he comes. I mean, I called him one night, 10 o'clock. We were in D.C. Jessica's broke down on the side of the road. It's like 30 degrees. It's like 10. He goes to bed like 8 o'clock. He hates cold. He had to go change her tire for her. He did it for me, right? Because I would do the same for him. I mean, that's a friend, right? Right. But for some reason, I don't know what it is. I'll keep on dropping seeds, you know, whatever it is. But because he went to this one church and he was trying to get me to come check it out. And I'm sorry I'm going here, but I'm just going to go. And he went to this one church. He was all excited and asked me, could I come check it out? And I'm like, yeah, I'm already at a church that I love, so no. And he's like, well, just come check it out. You can come to the early service. I said, what's he talking about? Trump, gays, lesbians, it was all bashing. It was that. And I'm just like, man, I can't. I'm not even interested. So because I told him how I felt about it, then he didn't go anymore. And then his wife was mad at me because he wasn't going to church anymore because that was her old church. You know what I mean? But I just can't. I said, man, I said I would have got up and walked out. So anyway, so pray, if you think about it, pray for my buddy, Monte. We're going to get him. If he could get over here, man, he just never engaged before. So anyway, that's a side note. Anyway, but we all got people, right? People in our life, we got family members, you know, and people watch what we do and what we say. And my situation at the house now, you know, is tough. Got a daughter-in-law and love her right to death. Keep it on the up and up. You know what I mean? Just show all the love you can. Just eat whatever comes and just have love because that's the only thing that's good. Like you said, that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that changes the world. What that song said, my hope is built on your love. My hope is built on your love. So love is the only thing that wins. Everything else loses or falls to the wayside. Love is the only thing that wins. So the people that you come in contact with, you know, like I work with people on Saturdays. We kid around a lot. Garrett works out there with us. We love kid around and talk a lot of Mac. However, I mean, when it's time to be, well, I got some stuff to say to him. We talk about God and stuff. So, you know, I'm not preachy. I'm not a preachy person. You're not going to see me on the corner unless he tells me to do it. But, however, I can bring it around. So, anyway, so let's get back. I'm sorry. I kind of got distracted. So the other part of this scripture I want to talk about is fasting, right? This unbelief does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Fasting. There was a day I was the king of fasting. I'm not trying to brag on myself, but you know why? Because I thought, I'm going to get something. So Greg Harding is like this. If there's something that over there that I want, if there's any way I can get it, then I'm going to get it. You know, you follow me? In other words, let me give you an example. If somebody said, if you cut my grass all summer, I'll give you that tractor, that John Deere. I'm cutting your grass all summer to get the tractor. The reason I work, because I'm trying to get stuff, so I do stuff on my own, which probably is not the best way. However, fasting back in the day for me was, hey man, fasting moves God. Fasting moves God. So, you know, if you can fast long enough, you can get anything you want, right? So we're clicking that 40-day fast, man. Wasn't a problem. Not for me, because I know I got it coming. I got it coming, man, right? I got it. Lord, you see me? Day 39, one more. You got me. You know what I'm looking for? Something material. Something material. That's what I'm looking for. Something material. And it never came through. It never came through. However, even though I never got what I was actually fasting for, because I was fasting for him to do something for me here, right? That was the lie. If I do this, then you'll do this, right? And the longer I do it, the more I get, right? It doesn't work like that, right? That was my lie. That's what I believed. So that's why I said, when I said the king of fasting, I mean, if I got to go 60 days for a new car, I'm do it. I mean, you know what I mean? That's my mentality. That's how I am. So anyway, so the fasting thing, you know, even though I never got it, even though I never got what I set out to get, because I take a couple days to get prepped up. I got to get pumped up, you know, because I already know my time. You got to know your time. You know, this blind fasting, well, I'm just going to fast for a couple days. Shoot, you're fasting until tomorrow at lunch. You know what I mean? That's all you're going to do. You got to put it, if you determine to do it, you got to put a time out there. I'm going 7 days. I'm going 3 days. I'm doing Daniel fast. I'm eating nothing after dark or whatever it is, but you got to put a time out there. You won't do it. I won't. You got to put a time out there. So that's why it takes me a couple of days to get my mind. Like right now, if all of a sudden Apostle was here and she said, we're starting a fast tomorrow, 14-day fast. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready. Because there's a couple of things I need to eat before the fast. So I got to prep. I got to be prepped for it. So, but the fast, though, every time, even though I was wanting all these lofty things, I learned a whole lot in there. Every fast was always good. You know why? Everyone was always good, because I could hear clearer, I could see clearer, I had focus, and him and I were close, always. I mean, I had this one fast one time. I mean, this is no lie. I'm telling you what, I'm outside praying, and I could hear the grass grow. That's how in tune I was. So when you have that long fast, and then you don't get what you really wanted to, actually, by the time you're into it, you ain't even really think about that anyway, because you've got such an intimate relationship with him and everything's close. And something else I'll tell you about fasting. Nobody want to buy me lunch, but when I'm on a fast, everybody wants to buy me lunch. Everybody want to take me out to dinner, right? I'm not fasting. Somebody feed me, right? No. Only when I'm on a fast. Greg, you want to do lunch Friday? Ah, shoot. I can't do it Friday. How about next Friday? You know, but that's what it always happens like that. It always happens. Like, everybody want to give me something. Always. Somebody come back, somebody come back from work and said, man, I got this extra Big Mac. You want it, Greg? I couldn't eat two. And I'm like, oh, yeah. No, I'm good. I just ate. I've been in the Word, man. I just ate. I don't tell them that, because I don't tell nobody when I'm fasting. But anyway, so there was the lie that I thought that God was going to move because I did something, right? I mean, how ridiculous is that, right? But back then, I didn't know Father was good. Right, all I knew was my father, and then, you know, God kills a lot of people and wipes out people. You know, it's the same old thing that people don't know Father's good. They don't look at what Jesus did, then you're kind of stuck. So fasting, I think, I think fasting is a good discipline. I think we should all be fasting. Now check, you know, disclaimer, make sure you check with your doctors. I'll just say that for the disclaimer. I'm not checking the doctor. I know what I can do and what I can't. But, you know, and I fasted before, like, I've tried, like, to do TV and sports and stuff like that. It doesn't work for me. If it works for you, then that's great. It just says you just need to abstain from something. It's got to be food. So one time at the church, we did a Daniel's fast. It was like a 40-day Daniel's fast. And it was really good. It just took me, like, 2.5 weeks to really get to where I needed to be, right? If I do a fast with no food, if you can get to, like, once you get to day 9, man, you're not even hungry anymore, man. And it's just like, I want to say open heaven, but it's already open. It's just my communication with you was like completely clear. So, actually, I haven't done one for a while. I probably need to do one. So I would encourage everybody. I mean, it's a good Christian discipline to fast if you can medically. I don't know if you can or not, but it's really, really good, especially if you got like a big decision coming up or you got some situations. Good Lord, I should be fasting every week. All the stuff I got going on, man, work, man, home, everything, man. I probably need to do one then. So, but I mean, you know, but it, I just want to encourage y'all to fast. I mean, because Jesus talks about it. Don't let people know. You know, try not to. My face is kind of, I got like RBF. Y'all know what that is? Y'all don't know what RBF? That's what I got all the time, right? I mean, and so if I fast, I have to really think about not trying to be look pissed off. Because everybody says I always look mad, but like yesterday, right? I'm leaving work yesterday, right? I put in, Gary, what do we work? 10 and a half hours yesterday? I'm walking out and I'm like thinking about, okay. Whew, hopefully Emily and the boys ain't there. I got some more work to do on the scripture, on this. I mean, you know what I mean? I just wanted some peace. I got more. I got to finish up, man. I'm walking out. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, geez, okay, should I start with this or that? And the guy's like, hey, Greg. I said, what? He said, why are you so mad? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you just look so mad. I'm like, man, I'm just thinking about stuff. So when you fast, you shouldn't let people know. I mean, it's nobody's business but yours. It's only for you. The fasting's only for you. So Michelle, she'll tell me, we went to this conference one time, and a guy was talking about your facial expression, and she always says, soft eyes, honey, soft eyes. And I go, soft eyes, soft eyes. She's like, don't be so mad, soft eyes, soft eyes. She's like, Roman thinks you're always mad at him. I said, I'm not mad. And she's like, well, you look like it. I said, okay. I'm sorry about the, you know, whatever it is. So anyway, it's something I just need to work on. But anyway, so in closing, just for me to you, I mean, you know, lies are good. Not good. Lies are good to be challenged. So if you hear something that challenges you, don't immediately diss it. Unless you know it's like way off. Like if somebody comes up and says Jesus was married and had six kids, obviously you know that's. But anything else that comes up, I would just say weigh it, talk with Father about it, see what the Scripture says about it, weigh it and see does it make sense. We were in a class here. I'll say this, and it was a bunch of us in here. We were taking, and the man was teaching on eschatology. Right, I'm not even going there today. But the man started talking. He was teaching and teaching. And it was like three or four of us. All of us at one time, we were like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I mean, it was that. It was one of those moments. And I'm like, okay. So then he just broke it all down. And then you need to break it down. If it's challenging and stuff, you need to break it down for yourself. Because you have to prove to yourself that it's a lie or the truth. It's up to you to prove it. Right? She can't do it up here. She's going to lay it out for you. You can just choose to decide to chew on it or not. So if you decide not to even challenge it, then it might be a lie or it might not be. But it's up to us, right? What does it say? Work out your own salvation, right? You got to work it out yourself. And then we got brothers and sisters here to come alongside of us and pray for us, and we can talk and stuff like that. But when it really boils down to it, my struggle is me and him, right? I mean, I got to deal with it. It's up to me. You got to deal with your own, so work out your salvation. So anytime lies come up, man, don't get offended. I said that with Michelle sometime, Apostle, when she's preaching. She'll say something, I'll get offended, right? I'm way better than I used to be, man. I used to be easily offendable. I'm not as much anymore, but I might look like I am, but I'm really not. That's a hard one, man. It's a hard one, man. Offense is bad. Offense is bad. And really, it's just, so obviously, if I'm offended, if somebody says something, then you need to check yourself. Not them. They can say whatever they want to say. You need to check yourself. Is there something in me that don't need to be there, right? I read this book on offense. I'll go ahead and go here, too. So I read a book on offense one time because it was really a big struggle. And some of my kids have struggled with offense, unfortunately. Probably came down the pipeline. But the book, this guy said, he said offense is like, spirit of offense. The offense is like somebody has set up bear traps all over the ground, right? And you see them. And you choose to step in that trap. You choose. You don't have to because you see it. You can walk around it, but you choose. So if you're offended and mad, it's all on you. It's not on what somebody said. I mean, I see stuff on TV. I just turn the channel because I'm like, are you kidding? I don't even want to hear that. But I chose to step in it if I dwell on it. If I don't dwell on it, I just go right on. But you choose. You choose. If you want to be offended, you choose. So, the whole thing with Facebook now, everybody's offended, and I mean, man, we can't agree to disagree. And can we? I don't believe what you believe. Can we talk about it? Is it not worth talking about? I mean, do we just unfriend each other and unfollow people? And I'll unfollow a bunch of people, and then after the elections, I'll follow them back again. I'm sorry. I just can't. Some of the stuff I just can't take, man. I just can't take it. But I don't know, man. You know, I think we just need to be real with people and love people. And today was a good day for me, not because of this, but because when I had Finn back there, I felt the love of Father come. So something new came for me today, and I can't tell you how to get it, but when I'm sitting there holding him, and I could, because that's my time with him, right? Because I don't see him through the week, so it's today. And then I have all that love. And then when Father said, you got so much more to give out to everybody else. It's not just for your family. That's what he said. That's why I put that out on you all, too. You all have so much more. Because I'm not special. I mean, we're all sons. We've all got the same seat at the table. We all got everything Father has, right? None are more special than the other. But so we all have a lot more love to give, right? So we just have to ask Father how you want to give it. Oh, I got one more story. Sorry. I meant to say it earlier, kind of broke the flow. But so talking about walking in the kingdom, right? So being who God's called you to be in your sphere of influence. Remember, we were talking about all that, right? And being a light in and out here in this dark. And so the guy on Facebook, he put something on Facebook. He's actually a pastor. Whew, that's very rare that I have a follow pastor on Facebook. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't. But I'm going to tell you the story. And so he and his wife were going away on vacation. Some of you might have saw it. He went on vacation. Him and his wife went on 2 weeks. Woo, 2 weeks at the beach. He put pictures up. Man, he's got fishing pole in the ground, sun coming up, devotions with Father, fishing, and then him and his wife and whatever, right? 2 weeks, just them two. And he says they met a couple, and they decided to have dinner together. First off, Michelle and I are on vacation. I'm trying to escape people, right? That's not kingdom, people. That's not kingdom. I go on vacation, I want to just get with my family. That's not really kingdom, okay? So they met this couple, and they went and had dinner. And he said this couple had just lost their son like 2 years ago. He was like 19 or 21. Well, 15 years ago, they lost their daughter who was like 21 or 19. Car wreck. Same thing. So they met two people and had dinner. They didn't even know it. And they said they laughed and cried and embraced and encouraged one another for about 3 hours at dinner. That's kingdom work. That's kingdom work, man. Are we open for something like that? Are you open for something like that? A stranger like that and just share your life? And it was, so here, because we're all walking this road, right? We got struggles, but wow, you're struggling the same thing I am, but you're a little bit further up the road. Maybe we should walk together for a little while. Maybe you can help me out some, right? So here are these people been walking 15 years and all that pain. And I mean, there's joy now, but, and then they come along somebody just 2 years. How raw was that couple? I mean, 19. Bad enough you lose a child. Anytime you lose, I mean, kids ain't supposed to bear to parents. I mean, parents ain't supposed to bear to kids. You're just not whatever the age is. But so they're on vacation and they meet a couple for dinner and they spend 3 hours at dinner. And I know the guy, I know he paid. And all they did was laugh and cry and minister to one another. And then leave dinner and go there. They probably have contacts, but that's kingdom work, man. You know, I'm out somewhere. I'm at the store and stuff. I'm not even looking at people. I'm not even trying to engage. I'm just being honest. You know what I mean? I got to work on it. I know what I need to work on, y'all. Y'all, if you see something, you need to tell me if I need to work on it. But, I mean, typically, you know, if I'm on vacation, me and Garrett, we'll run to the store real quick. Let's get it and get back to the beach. I mean, I'm trying to get back to, because that place is like a oasis away from the world, right? I'm away from work, and I miss you all, but I don't miss work, the people from work. But that's, you know, I don't know, man, but that just kind of moved me when I read that. You know what I mean? That was part of his vacation, and he just shared it. No names or nothing. We don't need to know that. That you met someone and had dinner, and then God showed up, right? How good was it for that couple that just lost their son like 2 years ago? To be able to, you know what I mean? That's kingdom work, man. That's what we need to be doing. And I'll talk to myself first. I mean, the world needs us. I mean, the world don't need church. They need Jesus, man, and the body of Christ is what they need. So, anyway. Okay, I think that's about it for me. Anybody got any questions? Okay, that's not bad. Hey, I had to time up. Because I know she's going to ask me. She's going to ask me. She'll probably listen to it coming back from D.C. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. I love her right to death. So, all right. That's... Father, we just come before you now, Lord, and we just love you, Father. And Father, we just thank you for all that you've done for us, for Jesus and the cross, Lord. Wow. He descended and ascended for us, all because of love. All because we were on your mind all the way back then. Even knowing you knew what we were going to get into, but he still came anyway. Of his own free will, he came just for love. Man, Father, you're just so good to us. I think sometimes we just don't understand how really good you are. You're always for us. Father, you're never against us. Open doors for us. And you're not pushy, and you're not demanding. You don't have tests or things we have to do. And you just love us where we are. You know, just love us where we are. So, Father, maybe we can take after you, and maybe we can just start loving people where they are, with no judgment, Lord, and no criticalness. You know, whatever they do, whether they smoke weed or whatever, who cares? You know, that's your brother in Christ. They just probably haven't met Father yet, right? They just haven't met Father. And maybe now's the time for you to introduce them, or maybe it's not. Maybe they just need a friend. But Father, the world needs love. The world needs us, the sons of God, to arise in Jesus and all that he's given us. He's given us everything we need for godly living, abundant life, blessings. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, he's given us everything. He's given us everything in himself. And then the lost have no hope, and we got it all. So, Father, I would ask that you would help us to reach the lost. I'm not talking about putting tracks out. I'm just talking about listening to someone who needs someone who's struggling. Maybe we can just listen to the word, or, you know, give a prophetic word to someone, or pray for somebody, and they don't even have to know it. Because, Father, you long for all your children, right? Just like the prodigal son, man, when he came back, you were running to him. You were waiting. So how many out here now, Lord, are you waiting on? So, Father, thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us, Lord. Thank you that you never give up. Father, I thank you that it's never too late. And never too late in any situation. It's never too late. It's never too late. So, Father, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord. You are glorious and mighty and marvelous. Change us, Father. We want to be changed, Lord. We want to be little Christs. That's what you call us, Lord, Father. Help us to mature in that. As Melody said, help us to mature in that. Because you know what? We already are. You've said it. We're priests and kings in the earth. We are. We don't have to attain it. We already are. So, Father, thank you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.